Okay.
And I'll just turn the sound of my computer off so it doesn't make any noises.
This is an oral history interview for the Westminster School Archives. It is the 3rd of March 2015. I'm Alex Hall.
And I'm Jane Orr, and I was Jane Dorman in the days I was at the school.
Okay, great. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start off by asking you, how did you come to attend Westminster?
I was at school at Francis Holland School in Graham Terrace, Sloane Square, which was rather an arty school, and so although it could cope with me doing maths A-levels, it couldn't cope with physics and chemistry. There were two Francis Holland schools, the other one being in Regent's Park, and so usually girls from my school who didn't want to do the nice subjects such as French and history went over there, but it happened in the year I was going into sixth form, there was no one there wanting to do science. Our school had started to build up some relationships with Westminster, taking the female part in the Gould and Sullivan operettas, and so it was an experiment. And so there were meant to be two of us coming, but the other girl chickened out and went to St Paul's, and so I came on my own in September 1967.
Right. So did you know anyone at the school before you came here?
My brother had been there a year, so he was in Wrens, so I was a half Wren, half town, because I still did my maths at my other school.
Right. So what were your first impressions of the school?
It was bigger than the school I'd come from, which was only 200 girls starting at the age of 5 and going on to 18. The boys were very young. I'm an October birthday, so I was nearly 17 when I started, and because I was, well, I soon went into the top set. I was with a lot of 13 and 14-year-olds, because I don't know if it still happens, but it happened then that the scholarship boys did their O-levels, GCSEs, at the end of the first year. So so some of them was... I remember one... I did experiments with a lad called Michael Glynn, who's now a consultant physician at the London Hospital. But we were paired, and one day he said, "It's my birthday today." I said, "Oh, it's mine too. How old are you?" And it was his 14th birthday and my 17th. And we were, so I think I was also surprised by how young they were.
Mm, yeah, I can imagine. So how did the boys react to having you in the lessons then?
On the whole, the ones in the class with me were absolutely fine, and there was no problem at all, just treated me as another one of the class. I think when I had lunch in what's it called, college hall?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of the ones who weren't in my class would be a bit showing off, and actually quite childish. So yes, in the end there was a... In those days, there was a separate table for Jewish boys, so that they had kosher food, and I was made an honorary Jew so that I could sit and have more intelligent conversation. Stephen Polyakov felt sorry for me and made me an honorary Jew so we could have intelligent conversation at lunchtime. The ones in the class were absolutely fine. It was outside. It was the nudging and giggling and being silly.
Yeah, I can imagine. And did you feel that the masters treated you similarly?
Well, it's interesting. I thought, at the time, I thought they did. I had a very good chemistry master. And the first physics master I found a bit peculiar. I don't know, he was rather like something out of a cartoon, a big blustering sort of chap. But after two terms, he had to be asked to leave for giving one of the boys in my class some extra tuition in a more biological subject than the physics would suggest, so he had to leave. And I went to be in the top set with Mr. Heben Scott, who was a very flamboyant teacher. David Michael Cospatrick Heben Scott. He was very flamboyant, very keen on trains. The physics lab was full of nameplates of trains. And I thought he was fine until I dug out my old report. And now, yes, the first term with him. It seems to me particularly bold that a girl should undertake this subject at all, and coupled with the fact that her arrival in this set is comparatively recent, her place at eighth isn't bad. But there have been regrettable lapses. King Alfred let the cakes burn when deeply immersed in thought. Was it her responsibility in the oven becoming complicated that caused her to underestimate her mental commitments? No idea what that really means, and then it gets worse. Apart from the occasional reference to baking white of egg, I still find it very difficult to bring physics into the kitchen, and I do hope she doesn't get bored or lost as the discussion resolves around the workshop, the powerhouse, and mechanical transport. She's a very brave girl to tackle this at all, let alone come to another school and find herself in the top set. I cannot visualise any of our boys popping over to Francis Holland and managing so capably with a wooden spoon or a cake mixer. We salute her. Now, I will say the headmaster was obviously rather embarrassed by that. It was Mr. Ross, the housemaster of Wren's. I'm glad to see Jane's making such sound progress, and I'm sure she's quite capable of grasping the principles of a powerhouse. I do not think we need to worry about her on that score. So there was some embarrassment. And then just to finish off that one, the very last one, I think it was... it's still good to have her around, and she's still a fine example of what a lady can do in a subject which I used to think was entirely for men. I wish, however, she would just write a little more explanation, okay, so that wasn't all wonderful, in her answers to A-level problems. And finally, yes, I hope she does well in the forthcoming A-level examination, and she'll be a real credit to her sex if she does. But indeed, I think she might. When a man might lose his head and panic, I can imagine her steering her way confidently through everything and passing with flying colours. I hope she does. Best wishes to her. So every report he did was making allowances, whereas I haven't bothered to read the chemistry ones because they're just straightforward reports and you couldn't tell, other than that he was referring to a woman as opposed to a man. Girl as opposed to a boy. It was just comment on how I'd done, you know, I contributed well in class, whatever, but there was no, you know, she's done okay considering she's a girl, which was certainly Mr. Heben's, which I had totally forgotten until I dug out these reports a few months ago when I was writing about being here for something else, and I don't remember that, but I obviously it was there and I just put it to one side in my brain.
Understandably. So you mentioned that you were in the top sets when you moved in physics. So how did you find the academic standard compared to Francis Holland?
The teaching was so different. I'd thought the teaching was quite good. Well, it was good at Francis Holland. But the teaching, the way boys were taught then seemed to me to be completely different to how girls were taught. I mean, I was never in a mixed school. I was girls only at primary school and secondary school up to then. In both subjects, we did the entire A-level syllabus in 1 year. So the entire second year was spent revising and doing old papers and to a certain extent exploring things that were interesting that were no longer, that weren't necessarily part of the syllabus, but just certainly in chemistry. We did a thing called Nuffield Chemistry, which was very much based on practical things. And so, you know, it seemed to me to be, you know, really difficult not to get straight A's. Obviously, things are a bit different now because you've got AS's and then A2's, so you can't really do the whole A2 syllabus in the lower six. But the teaching was in it was a whole new planet. I was, and I really responded to it well. At least I thought I did well, but I keep saying I was actually 8th out of 12 and things in the class, which is possibly not quite as well as I thought. I thought I'd done better than that.
So did you feel that Westminster prepared you very well for sort of university and then for your career?
Because I went into medicine, and again, in those days, one accepted this, you know, institutional sexism, or whatever you want to call it. I went to medical school, and I went to the medical school my grandfather and his brothers had all trained at, and they took 10% girls, so there were 77 places in a year, 70 places for boys and 7 places for girls. So obviously you needed to be quite good to get there, and I'm sure a lot because of the confidence I'd got at Westminster, and because my grades were expected to do well, I got the girls' scholarship there. And when I was there, yes, there were 7 of us out of 77, so that was an improvement on being one out of 500, 600. I can't remember how many boys there were at the school at the time, maybe more. Then after I qualified, I joined the army, and at that time there were, I think, 350 medical officers, and I made it up to 9 women, and obviously a lot of my postings, I was the first woman to take post, and it never bothered me, and I tended not to really notice it. People are trying to persuade me to join the Women Doctors Federation, and you know, I'm not a woman doctor, I am a doctor. I happen to be female, and that's fine, but I'm a doctor, and I tend to be a bit gender blind and I'm sure a lot of that is due to the fact I was here.
Mm-hmm. So as well as sort of giving you extra confidence, do you feel that you other characteristics change from your time at Westminster?
I think enjoying learning for learning's sake was very much part of it. As I say, I think this was partly having the upper six was called remove then. Is it still called remove?
Yeah.
So, you know, in that remove year, we were able to dig in and explore further, not just do the things that you needed to do for the exam. And I think this, I still resent in the NHS now, there's a lot of box ticking and doing things just to do that rather than going off and doing what common sense tells you. And I'm sure a lot of that was to do with being here. And just being able to, I suppose that's back to confidence, being able to talk to all sorts of people, which again is useful. And I should have turned my phone off. This is my husband, who should know that I'm in the interview now. Sorry, let me now turn the volume down. He'll probably send me a text. Sorry about that. Cut that out. What was the question you asked? Can you? Where have we got to? Can we redo that without them? can't remember what I was saying.
Sorry. So going back to sort of your time actually in the school, did you spend a lot of time in the school outside of lessons?
No, because I've been at the two schools, hardly at all. there was a, I had a, there was, I can't remember, Fort Barton Street, number rings a bell, there was a house that belonged to the school, and I had, was able to use a sort of sitting room there and bathroom there should I want it. But mainly because I had maybe morning here, afternoon at Francis Holland or the other way around, it was actually quite nice because if I didn't have lessons at either school, people would assume I was at the other one, and I spent quite a lot of time in St James's Park and sitting in the summer. I remember watching Concorde have one of its test flights as I was sitting in St James's Park. So yes, I was able to. It was quite nice having that little bit of freedom. And obviously, I was a Londoner, so I would also sometimes be able to get home to Holland Park. But and I used to walk. You can walk through St James's Park, Green Park, Hyde Park, Kensington Gardens, and back to Holland Park. And so it was a very pleasant walk on nice days. So I didn't do any, chilling out with the boys or anything. If I did have any short gap between lessons, I went in, I think it was number 4 Barton Street, but it didn't happen very often.
So in general, what were the facilities like for girls? Was there really much at all?
No, there was a, I was attached to Wren's, and there was, I should have looked as I came in today, there was a toilet there on the ground floor available to me, and in the science block I used the staff toilet. but apart from that, they hadn't. That was one of the things they were experimenting with. And there was me for 2 years, and then as I left, another girl from Francis Holland came and did 2 years, and a third girl came a year after that, I think. And then they gave it up because it wasn't working financially, girls being at two schools, mainly because the fees at Francis Holland were so much cheaper. So my memory is that in those days, and so 1967-68, the fees were £90 a term at Francis Holland, were more like £150 a term at Westminster, and so my parents still paid £90 a term to Francis Holland, but they had to pay Westminster about £90-95 a term to do the bits of teaching that they did, so it wasn't working financially from my school point of view. I think there was then a year with no girls at all, and then Westminster started taking girls in the sixth form. So it was all or nothing, but I think there were either two or three of us who did this half time as girls.
Mm-hmm. And was it something you would have recommended to other girls at the time?
Yeah, I mean, from the point of view of the teaching, apart from anything else, you don't appreciate at the time what it does for you, and the it's not till you go off on your own and you realise, yeah, gosh, I can cope with that. I wonder where I learnt that. That you realise the confidence it gives you being in a slightly unusual situation. But at the time, I was so impressed with the teaching, then yes, I would recommend it in a quiet voice to the girls at Francis Holland, because you didn't want the staff there feeling demoralised. This is fantastic. Mm. It was in a completely different class.
Mm. So, in lessons, did you really get on with the boys, and did you sort of make friendships that lasted?
Made a lot of friends, but I can't say any of them particularly lasted. I see the names and a couple of them I have met since, but I was never invited to be an old Westminster or join the Elizabethan club or whatever, and so it was sort of so again I suppose that's all part of the institutional sexism. I don't think it entered anyone's head, and it's interesting, it's only a few 5 or 6 years ago I was at a dinner and talking to somebody, telling him about it, and it turned out he was the chairman of the old Westminster's. He said, we must do something about it, and so it's only then that I've really come on board, and I think I am now officially an old Westminster, but this is only fairly recent. So the ones that did medicine, I came across a few times, but as I say, they were nearly all 3 years younger than me, and so they didn't eat, because a lot had to mark time. I remember there was a boy, admittedly in the year above me, who did his A levels and got a scholarship to Cambridge when he was still 15, and luckily school leaving age was still 15 then, but it was about to change. And I was saying, what on earth are these boys going to do if the school leaving age goes up to 16, you know, and they've already, you know, got all their qualifications, because he went off to teach in a boys' prep school, because he couldn't go to Cambridge until he was 17, so he went off and taught in a prep school for 2 years, and then went to university. So mostly they didn't start, even the ones doing medicine didn't start at the same time as me. They started a year or two later because they were too young. You can't start medical school too early because you've got to be 21 or even 22 before you can do finals. So you couldn't then start very young. So I can remember the names, and we were sort of friends at the time, but we never really met outside school.
And was there anything that, because you said your brother was at school around the same time as you, do you remember anything about him talking about the school that was very different to your experiences?
My brother got expelled, so he then went off to Marlborough. Because he was in Wrens, we had some of the same friends and things, so yes, it was, I suppose, a lot of, he was 3 years younger than me, but he was younger in the year, so he was only 2 years behind me academically. Yes, I don't know. I suppose it was all different. I don't know that we really compared, and unfortunately, he tried to set the school on fire and didn't go down to everyone.
So I assume you didn't have a uniform as you were there.
No, at Francis Holland, we didn't wear a uniform in the sixth form. We had uniform up to 5A, and after that it was no uniform, so I wore what I would have worn. You were expected to wear a suit, but I tended to be different. I mostly wore a brown corduroy suit, which was quite fashionable at the time. So do you wear uniform, not just a suit? Yes, it is a suit, but yes, but it's the suit.
But it's very new. So.
Right.
What were your impressions of sort of the Westminster customs, sort of different language used and things like that? Did anything particularly strike you?
How quickly you adapted to, you know, going up school and things like, and up college and things. And yes, I didn't take part in the Grease, but watched it. Oh, my goodness me, yes. That was, I think of it every year. But you know, but we had slang at our school as well. But it's the up up Westminster is definitely different. But it doesn't take long to learn the language.
So I've been kind of, particularly in lessons, I know you talked about teaching style a bit, but how it was different to Francis Holland, sort of the atmosphere of the school, maybe.
Yes, it was different anyway because this was now sixth form compared to before. So as I said, I did maths at Francis Holland, but I was the only person doing maths, but we had a very good maths teacher, so I had. So my maths teaching in sixth form was very different to what it had been up to O level, because then everyone had to do it, and we were a small school, we didn't have sets, so the teaching up to then was quite different. Same with the science subjects, nobody could drop out of. You had to do physics, chemistry, and biology, and that was it. There was no double science or triple science and things. So it was different anyway because you were with people who were doing a subject they had chosen to do rather than something that they had to do. I think there seemed to be much more assumption that you would. You would get the hang of what was being talked about very quickly. But that may be part of A-level teaching anyway. I'm trying to remember now what it was. Yes, it was the assumption that you would understand, and always taking things a bit further, that, you know, to really understand things, you needed to take things even to a greater depth than you needed just to tick the boxes, and always backing it up with doing an old A-level question afterwards, so you really knew whether you understood it. It was just assuming that you were there with an IQ of 140 or more and were interested.
Mm-hmm. And I think about my own experiences, I found that Westminster was a lot more, like, particularly the boys were very politically engaged. I don't know if that was something you felt as well, were you?
Well, certainly, yes. I mean, the chats at lunch were often very political. But then there were MPs' children here as well, so and in a way I was used to that because a lot of MPs' daughters were at Francis Holland, and I was in the former Bobby Enoch Powell's oldest daughter, and there weren't any MPs' children in my year, but there were a lot above and below. So I was actually fairly used to being politically aware, just being at a school in Westminster. I think you at what private school in Westminster, you can't really miss it.
Yeah. And did you get the impression of sort of great wealth from a lot of the boys? Was that something, or not particularly?
They were obviously wealthy, but they didn't show it off.
Okay.
There was young Seif, whose parents owned Marks and Spencers and things, presumably pretty wealthy. But again, Francis Holland, there were a lot of, I was a bit amazed to find, people I knew well at school, when they left school, it was now the Honourable Miss something or Lady whatever, and I thought, I didn't know that. So I think, in the 60s, maybe now, people just don't, don't show it off. It's assumed, that you've got a certain amount of wealth to be able to come to the school, and therefore there was, just looking at my Francis Holland old school magazine, it seems to me to be showing off rather more than it did before, possibly trying to attract a different sort of wealthy person. And possibly the wealthy people in London are different to the wealthy people in London in the 60s. Yes, one of the boys in my house's father is Governor of Bank of England. I suspect he was, I imagine that comes with quite a good salary. It was, you weren't aware of it at all. But again, it wasn't as if I'd come from a comprehensive to come here. I'd come to really the female, in so many ways, the female equivalent, or maybe I'll say the female equivalent of the day houses. So there were a lot of brothers and sisters at the two schools.
Right. So did it surprise you that Westminster went sort of fully accepted girls not that long after you were there?
I was quite pleased. I thought, because I thought it was good for the girls and good for the boys as well. I mean, there were things 20 years or 30 years ago talking about how girls don't do so well in science subjects when there are boys around because they feel they shouldn't, which rather probably Mr. Heaven Scott would have agreed with that. But that certainly wasn't my experience. I think it's really good for girls to have to compete with boys. I mean, there are subtle differences between boys and girls and the way they learn, I think, but I think the competition is always going to be good at drawing the best out of people.
Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if there's anything else in these reports that we can have a look at?
Now I've got them all out of order. They're very... Yes, I think I quite like... isn't that one? Yes, the headmaster didn't like the report every time. Yes. I did like... Yes, this is... Mr. Ray was the headmaster then. We all enjoy having Jane here. How nice to think that one day she may take her place in the record of old Westminster's along with Wren, Gibbon and Warren Hastings.
Rather nice.
The chemistry... Mr. Stebbins was absolutely lovely, really good teacher, but his first report. I've been very impressed by her approach to the subject. She has a good factual background and her readiness to contribute in a most constructive manner to discussion make her a valuable member of the set. And all his remarks are sort of like that, yes, I'm a girl, you say she, and I'm new to the, haven't been at the school for the 2 years before, or 1 or 2 years before, but, he was fine, very good teacher, but no, I think... say it was particularly the it was Mr. Heaven Scott, but he was a wonderful teacher in many ways. He one day in the middle of A-level course we went in physics and he said, "Why are you here without your coats?" Because it's quite warm in here. But today's the day that the Flying Scotsman's making its last ever scheduled run from King's Cross. Come on, off we go. And we all went by tube to King's Cross to watch this. This platform was absolutely packed. The next thing I knew, I've been surprised by the reports. He said to me, "Come on, Jane, let's get a better view." And he shinned up a ladder onto a signal gantry. So... I was in a skirt, we didn't think of wearing trousers in those days, and we were hauled down, but but it was he was wonderful. But you had time to do that sort of thing. I don't know if parents would moan now if you missed a whole morning going off to see the Flying Scotsman doing its last scheduled run. But it was a great. I will certainly always remember that. I certainly couldn't imagine any of my female teachers at Francis Holland doing anything remotely like that.
Okay, great. Well, I think unless there's anything else you want to say.
No, I think that's probably about fine.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, sorry about my husband phoning in the middle. He knew perfectly well what I was doing today.